Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventure Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Welcome, everybody. So travel writer Debbie Stone did a good job in exploring Patagonia. So we had episode one where she went to the Chilean side, and now we're going to Argentina, and she went on an epic hike, and she went high up there. She did some big mountain. You had a big mountain experience, Fire Monkey. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well and looking forward to talking about the other side of Patagonia, which is also, you know, equally as breathtaking as the Chilean side. It definitely attracts some of the same individuals that want to go for hiking, for nature, for photography, all the same reasons that you would be interested in going to the Chilean side. People often go to the Argentina side to see the other side of Patagonia. It's El Chalten.
Thank you for saying it. So this is in the southern Andes, right? And so you're again going into...
Yes.
A national park, a Los Glaciares?
Yes, Los Glaciares. Yes, Los Glaciares National Park is the major park and El Chalten is set kind of in the valley between these rivers at the foot of what is called the Cerro Chalten, which is also, people know it as Fitzroy, the mountain, and which is, you know, is definitely one of these iconic peaks as well, and within this landscape, it's pretty dominant. And so Chalten is the term that the ancient people gave for the peak, and it means basically smoky mountain, because when the winds up there, and the winds can be quite fierce in Patagonia, both sides of Patagonia, but it creates these kind of cloud columns that kind of just hang atop it, so it look like a smoky mountain. So you know, a lot of people like to call it by its you know, traditional name, which, you know, is the Cerro Chalten. But most people, if you would say that, would not know that it is actually Fitzroy.
So Fitzroy, that's a historic name. We do know that. In fact, there's drinks named after him. He was a captain. And this is a big deal, because now we're going back to Charles Darwin again. Like, we talked about him in the last episode very briefly, because he's got, you know, animals and birds named after him everywhere. But this is a real reason why, right? So they were part of this history of this mountain range.
Yeah, you know, the ship, the HMS Beagle, which most people remember, is the ship that went to this area of the world with Darwin. And so Fitzroy went with Darwin back in the 1830s, and supposedly they were the first Europeans to view the mountain, but they never climbed it. They did some mapping of a lot of the area in Patagonia, but another very well-known explorer named Francisco Moreno, he surveyed the area and named the peak Fitzroy in honor of the captain, which is interesting, because we had a guide one of the days when we were in El Chalten, and you know, she told us that it's kind of ironic, because many times mountains can be named after somebody who has conquered, quote unquote, the mountain. But Fitzroy never, you know, really got near the mountain, so to speak. But in any case, he has a mountain named after him. And so this town, it's a very small little town. It wasn't really a town until 1985, so it's a very new, young town. And it's become very well known because of Fitzroy, and you know, that mountain, and also Mount Torre. These are legendary mountains for mountaineers. And so, you know, Fitzroy is about 11,000 some feet, and you know, Torre is about 10,200 feet, and there's all these other peaks that are above 9,000 feet. So you've got this incredible landscape of mountain peaks. And, you know, these mountaineers have tried over the years to climb it. And, I think the first ones were back in 1952. And so anyway, so, it was it's a tough mountain to climb. And it's on a lot of mountaineers' bucket lists as well. And so, yeah, so it's pretty special for people who are really into peak bagging, so to speak.
Well, tell us a little bit about your experience going out there and how, I mean, did you go to the Chilean side first or which and how close, like for anybody who wants to do both things that you experienced, what was that like travel-wise to get from A to
So,
B or B to C?
from the Chilean side, we had a transfer that went from the Estancia, the ranch that we stayed at, and we went to a place called El Calafate, which is across the Argentine. You have to cross the border, and El Calafate is kind of the, I would say, entrance to the Patagonia area. It's another town. It's known for the Perito Moreno Glacier, which is a very famous glacier. And people will go there. They'll stay in El Calafate, and they'll go to the glacier and do some activities. And some people will go over to El Chalten just for the day. It's, we took a, you take a, like a bus, like a coach that you need to take from El Calafate to El Chalten. And then, we opted to, of course, spend a couple of days there because it's, once again, it takes a long time to get to these places. Why not spend some time there? In El Chalten, which was pretty interesting, as soon as we got off the coach, you see everybody and they're all back, it's backpacker haven, and they're all carrying these, weighed down by these heavy packs, and many of them are young for me, and they've come to backpack and or else stay in a hostel, but they've come, with their backpacks. And I'm not a backpacker. At one time I did do some backpacking, but I do not do backpacking now. And I'd come to hike and to explore this area, but using a day pack so that I could go back to a comfy bed and a hot shower every night. So,
We're
but
back to
as I
that
said,
again. Exactly. We want the We want,
yes,
yeah, we want to be
the creature
cozy.
comforts, you know what I
We
mean?
want
And
that.
but I soon learned that there were quite another other like-minded travelers of a mature age, so to speak. And to me, it was wonderful and great to meet among people who are so excited about being in this landscape.
Yeah, and you know what? And it really is, I think, interesting now the way travelers are. It's like it used to be, oh, the authentic experiences for this person or that. I'm like, no, it's ageless. Everybody wants that authentic experience and gets excited. It's just you have to choose according to what your body's going to do or what you feel like doing. Doesn't matter. I know people in their 20s that aren't going to try and hike anything. They're just going to go, I'm taking the nature trail. That's my thing. And,
Right.
power to them. Do it.
Doesn't matter,
It
because
doesn't
just
matter. Do
getting
what you
out in
want to do,
nature
man.
in whatever feels comfortable to you, and if you want a challenge, then challenge yourself,
Right.
Here in El Chaltán, they have a wonderful little visitor center. The people are English speaking staff. You can get maps, you can get trail recommendations, you can get weather conditions, and weather is
Good.
very important here.
Yeah.
Patagonia, as a rule, can be incredibly windy, can be have a challenging weather conditions. We happened to hit it at a time when we had wonderful blue skies, little wispy clouds, very little wind. We were very, very fortunate. The locals kept telling us this is not normal. Usually, they usually don't get this kind of weather very often. And so we felt extremely fortunate to be able to see mountains clearly with not a lot of cloud cover. And so that was really very, very special. But the museum there is a good place to also look around. They have some exhibits about the wildlife, nature, mountain climbing. Of course, it's all in Spanish, but you can kind of get the gist of it. You can look at the photos and the pictures, and anyway, so you learn, as you were mentioning, there are trails for every level of hiking. Of course, it helps to be active to a certain extent, and to have a little bit of hiking and some elevation experience. But as I said, you don't need to be some kind of uber athlete to experience this particular wonderful, special place. You can start by doing some short walks and get yourself acclimated, and then
Drink water.
undertake some, yes, take drink water and take some, and then move on to a little bit longer, treks. So there are plenty of choices for people. We talked about condors, and so there are some incredible viewpoints that you can get to that are basically condor country. And so you'll be able to see these incredible raptors, and they're just so majestic, as we've mentioned before. But there's an iconic trek called Laguna Los Tres, and I think from what our guide said, we did we probably did about 12, 14 miles, something like that. And we didn't get way up to the actual base, because it's extremely steep and rocky, and I felt that that was maybe something I didn't want to deal with. But we did get to see the glaciers. Did get to see all these peaks. We saw waterfalls. We went through wetlands, and it was a really incredibly good hike. I felt good, really proud about doing it. It wasn't that it was that difficult to do. It just was long, and but I loved it, and I was glad that we had a guide with us, because she was wonderful and really, really enriched the experience with so much knowledge about the plants and the creatures and the surrounding and the geography. And it was really, really, I think it was really important for us to have that guide. I think we would have missed out on a lot.
I always think that. I think it's important to have people who can. I mean, I love park rangers, and we always do a lot of that, and you just learn so many little fun facts that just you get a better understanding of why things are the way they are where you're walking. And they also, it's not just the nature side, there's also all these cultural elements too of how people lived off of the land, where you're hiking. And I find that fast personally just fascinating, because I always wonder, how did people way back when, who ate the first berry? Who did it? Who went, okay, I'm trying the berry, it looks good, let's see if this is good, if I die I die. I mean, who took the first berry? Don't you ever think that when you're hiking, like, someone did
Oh
it,
gosh, how do
somebody
they
did that.
how do they find out what was safe or not safe to eat? What was edible and not edible. Plus, when you're doing this with a guide, we have this guide, this wonderful woman named Danielle, and she just had such a passion for the mountains and was a climber herself. And she would stop and talk to us, and we would look at Fitzroy or the other mountains, and she would talk to us about routes that mountaineers use to get up, and we'd see, and she'd show us, okay, this is, you go up this side on the glacier, and you go up on this side, and it really was fascinating to learn how the approaches to doing the, and you look at that, and you're just like awestruck at these people that actually climb these mountains.
Yeah, that's amazing to me about in because there's always snow and ice up there, way up there, no matter what the season, right? What was this like for you after Europe last year when you went out there and you were at the top of the world, the Dolomites, I mean, or did I pronounce that wrong too?
Yeah, no, the Dolomites is fine, but in Italy, they say, I think it's the Dolomites is actually what they
Okay,
call them. But
sorry.
in any case, everywhere I go, I'm usually just so awestruck by the landscape when I'm in the mountains, and whether it's the Italian Alps, whether it's the Swiss Alps, whether it's in Patagonia, whether it's the Rocky Mountains, whether wherever the Canadian Rockies, I don't know, just
You're just there, not
I'm so
comparing.
impressed. I'm impressed by the nature, and everywhere I go, it's wonderful. It's like every place has its own unique beauty, and you know, I'm so eager to be there. And I, you know, people always say, "Oh, what's your favorite, you know, this or favorite
No,
that?"
I
And I'm always
can't.
like, "My favorite is the place that I'm at the moment."
Well, you do tend to go to certain places more frequent. We all have that happen to us, but I think what you're saying too is so powerful of right now in the world. The world is not happy right now. There's a lot of stuff going on and sad. And I think through travel, sometimes we can unite with humanity on a better level. It seems the world gets smaller yet bigger at the same time in a weird way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
Yeah.
I
It
really encourage people to do it because I
well,
feel like it's
I,
the answer to all the world's problems is for people to travel and get to know each other and get on with it.
and I
You
think,
know?
you know, I think immersing yourself in natural beauty is probably the best thing you can do for your mind, body, spirit. It really is. And it gives people, you know, just a sense of peace to be in that landscape, and just this, you know, real, I don't know, just the feeling that you get when you're there, wherever it is that you find your beauty in nature. And there's so many places that you can find it, you know.
It's just like we were talking about in the last podcast, you know, on the Chilean side. We were talking about, you know, at the Estancia that, you know, you go out there and you're hiking, you're doing all these adventures, but you know your body is alive, right? You've got that wild, like, woo. And
Absolutely.
that night, you're in comfort. And quite frankly, even if you're camping, right? It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah,
You sleep
definitely.
so well, you sleep fitfully. You've got fresh air in your body. You've been using your body. It's different than running a treadmill in a house.
Right.
Hiking and being out in nature and getting that fresh air and connecting with plants and wildlife. Maybe you don't want to see a puma though. I don't know. But I'll take the condor. But don't you think that it does rejuvenate us? And when you go to a nature space away from where you are, that's good too.
Yeah, I think just finding beauty outdoors is so good for everybody. You know, it just does the wonders for everybody. So yeah, wherever people can find beauty, and there's plenty of places, like I said, whether
Oh,
it's, you
Patagonia
know,
is epic.
close to you or far. You know, it's just you know, I think, you know, if people are willing to travel great distances to see, you know, to be in different countries and see the beauty that exists in different countries, that's wonderful. But I also say that, you know, if people aren't willing or can't for whatever reason, that there's plenty of natural beauty around where they live, you know.
And honestly, here's the other thing. We've been doing shows on this, and there's studies being, you know, proving just even looking at nature photos, like your photos from Patagonia, you know,
Yeah.
changes people's moods, calms them. It's a stress reliever. It does wonders for blood pressure and health. And so, if you can't go anywhere, look at pictures, read articles.
Right.
Honestly,
Right.
it will improve so much. And you'll know about a place. We can't all go everywhere, but we can
No.
certainly do the best we can, you know?
And I
You
think
know, there.
also, I think photography also is a reason to sometimes I know for me, when I see an incredible photos, I'm like, where is that? I really want to go there. And it's like that can be an enticement and encouragement for people to go somewhere when they see something. They're like, I really want to go see that, you know?
It does a pull on your heart. It does. The
Yeah.
visuals are crucial. Crucial. So where's next
Absolutely.
for you, Miss Debbie? Fire Monkey, where are you going?
I am heading to North Carolina. So I'm keeping it into the U.S. this time, and going to Outer Banks, and then up into the mountains in Boone, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been back in that neck of the woods for a while, and so that's my next adventure.
She's coming up for the Long Pines. Yep, the She's coming. Yeah, because there are woods up here. It's beautiful. I can't wait to hear more about that. Everyone, next month, you're going to hear about Debbie's experiences in Little Rock, Arkansas. I cannot wait. I love Little Rock. Nancy and I had a great time there, and we can't wait for that episode of you experiencing Little Rock too, because I think they're doing so much. They really are the epitome of living the past, present, and future, and trying to make things work that way. That's
I
a
think you're
really
absolutely right, and it is truly a surprising destination for people who don't know much about Little Rock or have never been there. For me, it was full of wonderful surprises, and I
It
was
was
just so
one of our
excited.
favorite places,
Yeah,
right before the
fabulous.
pandemic hit. It was truly, and you went to the Root Cafe. Can't wait to talk about it. So everyone stay tuned
Yes.
for next month in May with the Fire Monkey. She went to Little Rock. Can't wait. And then we'll be covering, the next destinations after that. Thank you so much, Debbie. The article links are in the show notes, everybody, and also the destination so you can plan your trip to Patagonia. All of that is in the show notes. So wherever you're listening, whether it's YouTube or Spotify, look under the player and you will see those links there, or just go to nationalparktraveling.com and type in Debbie Patagonia, and you'll find both her articles and podcasts there. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Well, thank you so much. Until next time.
Yoo-hoo!
All right. Take care.
Take
Bye-bye.
care. Thanks for listening to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventures Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Debbie is here every fourth Tuesday. You can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.